You're listening to Classic Business with Michael Avery, brought to you by Altron, there when it matters.
Good afternoon, Classic Business you're listening to, moving into the second half before we have a nice long weekend. Jeremy Sampson sitting in for Michael Avery. And now we come to one of the high points of the week, Parsons Perspective. We have Raymond Parsons from the School of Business and Governance of Northwest University giving us a wrap for what's been going on in the week. So let's start, Raymond, by looking at the Q1 figures. You're smiling. Is it something to smile about?
Well, should I first say good evening to you, Jeremy.
And good evening,
and say,
Raymond.
And say, really, I think what one is smiling is that we have already moved on from those numbers.
And that's good news.
But that's important backdrop to what the prospects are now. And so we've been zigzagging our way over the economic outlook for the past few weeks and trying to disentangle the politics from the economics. That's been another big challenge. But I think if we go back to the bad figures of the first quarter, you know, GDP growth, which was minus 3.2, in my book, that was an accident waiting to happen. It was the accumulation of a number of things that had been progressively going wrong over time, which we've discussed over and over again. But of course, in the first quarter, we had the load shedding by Eskom, which was a great shock to the economy. We had the persistent and the cumulative impact of the policy uncertainty, which we've gone on about for a few years, which reached a peak, especially with an election coming. And then there was the residual impact of the drought on certain aspects of the farming sector. So it really means that given that bad news, we've all had to take out our sharp pencils and look again at our forecasts for the year as a whole. Everyone has indicated that certainly we'd be very lucky to get an average 1% for this year, and it might even be less. So at the moment, one would say somewhere between 0.5% and 1% growth for this year as a whole, and looking a little better next year. On the good side, I think fortunately there was a worry we may drift into a technical recession if we had two quarters of negative growth. Fortunately, the retail sales figures, that the manufacturing production output has been quite good. The mining was not good. But I think on the whole, I think we've now avoided that particular danger. And if the fuel prices come down next month, I expect, must say, if I was on the Monetary Policy Committee next month, I would vote to be able to cut interest rates now. I think that time has now arrived.
But it's interesting you're saying how mining, the figures aren't good. And then I saw the other night that agriculture is even worse than mining. So we've gone through a difficult phase, and I guess that's perhaps drought-related as well.
Well, it is. But I think, fortunately, some of the factors, hopefully, which made for the bad performance in the first part of the year are non-recurrent. In other words, the drought is over, that we won't have more load shedding, hopefully, and that certain other things will begin to kick in. So I think one can say, yes, we will end up the year with a more or less 1% growth rate. But we know that's simply not good enough. And the issue, of course, of policy uncertainty, we thought after the election that somehow we would look forward to more policy certainty, more political certainty. We've had the saga around, you know, the Reserve Bank last week, which really hasn't done the level of, you know, sort of policy uncertainty any good. In fact, one economist said, look, this is a classic case of policy uncertainty. I liked the headline in Business Day today saying that the bank debate is a big distraction. I just want to quote, in the midst of the ace Magashula-induced market turmoil last week, Finance Minister Tito Mboweni lamented that he couldn't understand the obsession with the Reserve Bank. He's not alone, and I mean, I can't understand why, of all the pressing priorities that this country has at the moment, whether it's in infrastructure, with Eskom, with unemployment incentives, all those things, I would have thought that really, we should be able to put the Reserve Bank on one side and say, let it get on with its job. If it isn't broken, don't fix it. Well, but I just, yes, please.
But I want to add in there, and you're absolutely right. At the moment, the government seems to be all over the place. It lacks focus. And as you say, there are some key issues that need sorting out. SARB is a distraction. And this is where we've got to focus on the real issues and get some certainty.
I think some people might ask, and you see, this is a fair question, that in some other countries, there's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't have a technical discussion about the institutional design of a central bank. What is ideal? Should you still have private ownership or not? Or the issues, the merits and the demerits of having a quantitative easing, for example. Or should we just...
Is that the right term, quantitative easing?
Quantitative easing.
I'm just joking.
Yeah, yes. Well, hopefully that was just a slip of
hopefully.
The tongue. But I wanted to say also that the third issue about nationalization and the mandate of the bank, in any normal circumstance in a country, you should be able to have a technical discussion. Can you tweak monetary policy? I think what lies at the bottom of this, apart from the politics of it, that the reaction, almost an overreaction, you could might say, is that there is no trust. That the track record of what's happened to institutions in this country in the past few years is such that no one wants to even open up this debate, because it is going to be politicized, it's going to be an ideological trap, and so don't go there, just let the bank get on with their job. And they have done a very good job. And it is the saying, if it isn't broken, don't fix it.
I think they've been one of the heroes, in fact, of the new South African Reserve Bank. We've had very good governors, including Tito Mboweni, which we mustn't forget, and the current governor is doing a fantastic job.
We should be absolutely proud of that institution. But we shouldn't get to a situation where the way all this is handled is such that you can't even have a technical discussion. You think, well, just leave it, because it's all going to be misinterpreted, misunderstood, and in the end, you will go from the frying pan into the fire. So I think, really, we need to say to ourselves, look, there are much more important things that have to be dealt with, and given the factors where we are with our growth rate and our poor economic performance, we must look to the bank to be supportive in the ways it can, but recognize it cannot do the heavy lifting. That's on the structural side, and that's where other people have to take decisions, whether in government, in business, or in labor. We have to collaborate and say those are the outstanding, tough decisions that still have to be taken, and we need to get political and policy certainty and a degree of consensus built around it so that we can tackle them, because each time a number comes out, it's either an ambivalent number or a negative number, and out there are people who are looking for jobs, who are looking for a better life, and this economy is not supplying it on the scale that they expect.
No, and I think you have said that if we could get a growth rate of 5% or so, that would just be enough to absorb the new people coming onto the jobs market. And this is where we know that the figure of unemployed is one of the worst in the whole world, and it's going to get worse because we know we have so many youngsters coming into the jobs market. So that, to me, is one of the things that everyone should be focusing on, more jobs, and very, very quickly.
And symbolically, we should be doing that, particularly over this weekend, with Sunday being Youth Day. I think it's very important to hold out hope. And that's where the focus has got to be. So our president has been quite right for some time in saying it's investment, growth, jobs. That's the equation that I'm working on. But that means you have to be able to take some tough decisions, you've got to show leadership, and you need collaboration. And that means you really have to now come in the post-election period and say, we are going to build the confidence that we need for this economy, and we are going to pursue pro-growth policies, reform policies. Don't know that in all the multitude of plans we've had in the past, I don't even recall the Reserve Bank being mentioned. So let the Reserve Bank get on with its job, get on with its mandate, and we can still engage with them about it, and we can still push them in one or other direction in the broader debate. But the fact is that the real priorities lie elsewhere, and they lie in areas where some tough decisions are required. And I think if we don't get on with them now, we're going to lose ground rather than gain ground with this economy. Because once again, I think those of us who've been talking about this for a long time, the greatest source of frustration is the extent to which you see how the potential of this country is not being, is either being blocked or is not being unblocked. And I think that is the most overriding hope that we have, that we are able to do something positive in the, you know, in the near future.
That was Professor Raymond Parsons. Thank you. He asked me if I could give him 30 seconds to wrap, but I'm afraid I can't because we're over time. But we've got to look to the future, absolutely. We've got to get the private and the public sectors working together, and it would also help if the ANC was working together as a team.
And the State of the Nation address must do the trick next week.
And that's on Thursday, I believe. And on that note, thank you, everyone, for listening. As we close off this program, I can tell you that Rod Miller is getting ready for jazz in Cape. Thanks to Carolyn Stain, who's also revving up. And thanks for tuning into Classic Business, which was brought to you by Altron, technology partners in your digital transformation journey. And for more information, visit altron.com. Altron, there when it matters.